Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
James, I'm afraid to say I did prefer the original version. I watched your dubbed version. I don't like what you did with the armadillo character.
Did you say, well, we didn't like what you did? That's why you've had to come back and touch it up.
Yeah, you're back. That's why you're back here.
Look at all criticising each other's work.
Yeah.
That tiger that you painted on the cat, it looks shit.
James, thank you for joining me here in the garden.
What a nice garden, Tom.
Thank you.
I mean, I know everyone, is this how everyone starts? Must have said, what a nice garden, but it is.
If they don't start like that, I insist that they reframe it.
It's annoying.
It's no, not at all. It's lovely. And we've got a good selection of bird singing and also the local school children screaming at each other, which is something they tend to do. Well, we like to think of it as a little oasis, a little bit of tranquility. I always thought gardening was quite boring until I had my own. And now I quite like just the sort of, the sense that it's, well, of course it's with nature, but it's just quite a nice, peaceful place to be, and I try not to bring my phone into it as much as possible.
Oh, I mean, that's the challenge across the board in life now, isn't it?
Don't you find?
Absolutely bananas.
Yeah.
I've shouted from the rooftops how I'm not on social media, so everyone thinks I must not be on my phone all the time.
Mm.
Just looking at my iTunes playlists.
That is
I'm
exactly
scrolling
the sort of thing.
Through those. I know what's on there. I put it together. Oh, that was good when you put the. Not even listening to them.
Yeah, that's
that was
exactly
good
how
when you
I
put
do.
That together. That's a good. What a nice run of songs.
Because I'll be like, I'm not going to look at Instagram. Yeah. I'm not going to look at Instagram. Well, I'm not going to shop. And then, I do find myself doing things like that.
Yeah.
Or kind of going through something on my phone, old photos.
Yeah.
I suppose that's quite a nice thing to do, but.
That can be a absolute wormhole. You start looking at old photos, you're just for ages.
Just glued to the screen.
And then, that's a nice one of me and Tom. I'll send that to Tom.
Oh, and then they... Then
I'm going to get a message back.
What a lovely surprise to get your message. How are you?
Yeah.
Do you want to come and do my podcast?
Yeah. Oh, no, we've got to get
Of course.
No, but this is, like, I lived... The first place I lived in London, we had a garden.
Oh,
it was me, a bunch of people that I found on Gumtree or something. And quite a while in, one of them was like, the neighbours have ratted us out to the landlord.
What do you mean?
That we haven't looked after the garden.
Oh.
And I was unaware that was in our contract that we had to maintain the garden.
Oh.
And the garden was, like, Jumanji levels bad.
It will happen.
It was bad.
Nature is like that, I find.
And I worked at a school at the time. And
I asked
the gardener who worked at the school, the janitor, I was like, have you got anything I can cut, like, grass with? Because we haven't got anything. He just, no questions asked, lent me a strimmer.
Did that help?
No, because, like, I started and it was like working a dream. And all of my housemates were in the kitchen window giving me the thumbs up.
Mm.
And so without looking at the strimmer, I was, like, throwing the rock and roll horns, like, yeah! And then just stram... Is that the term?
Yeah.
Stram through the cord of the string. And so just instantly...
That's not how I thought that was going to go. Oh.
Yeah, just stram the cords, just clean in two. So that was broke.
Oh, you stram the strimmer.
I stram the strimmer.
And so what did you do? Did you give it back to him like that?
Yeah, I went back thinking I'm going to be in a lot of trouble now and I'm going to have to pay for this. And I went back and said to the... I just said to the head teacher because I saw him first. Came with the strimmer. I said, I've broken this. And he went, that's okay, just give it to Patrick, he'll fix it. And I was like, what? What else can I borrow, if that's the case?
What else did
give
you borrow?
Give me a whole bunch of stuff.
Overhead projector?
Do whatever I want. Yeah. Just lob it at a wall, just film my own little Jackass series.
We are lucky with the birdsong today, actually.
It's amazing. Do you know what bird it is? Have you got to that point yet where you're able to identify it?
A few people have told me to get the app that identifies what language they're speaking, but
and
I sort of
think... You're on your phone even more.
Then you're on A, you're on your phone even more. That's how they get you, isn't it? There's that, and I sort of don't care. No, I do care. I do care, but I think I quite like to think, it's all different ones.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like, that's a Jack Finch. Is that a bird? That is a bird.
Yeah, I think that's two birds that you smashed together there.
Oh, fine. I think a jackdaw?
A jackdaw and a goldfinch. I think it's just gone bam. There's a lot of finches, though. There's a bullfinch.
Oh, yes. I don't think we get many bullfinches in this garden, do we?
Maybe not. I don't know. You and I are the last.
How would we know? How would we know? I don't have the app.
You'd have to bring your phone into the garden, which is a no-no.
Oh, yeah.
And then identify these birds.
But you're right as well, because as well, there's that thing to identify leaves. And I'm always like, no, the time in the garden is not to do a thing where you photograph it and then do a thing where you look it up.
Well, I've got a mindfulness app. The main reason I'm not mindful is because I'm on my phone all the time. So I'm trying to be present.
Yeah.
So I want to do the mindfulness app. First time I use it, as soon as I've finished the little guided meditation thing, it goes, would you recommend it to a friend?
Oh.
And then will you score it now? The mindfulness app is now trying to get me.
Absolutely.
To do all this. I'm like, guys, work with me a little bit.
At least pretend to practice what you preach. The thing is as well, I did this. I've said it before. I downloaded a trial of a mindfulness app.
Yeah.
Didn't like it, but forgot to cancel the trial. And then it renewed and charged me £60. And I was like furious every time I went to meditate.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so bad at it. I every time I try and do it.
Oh, I'm like this. That's kind of why I got into gardening, actually, because I felt like I could. Next door's dog. Cyril
the dog. Don't need an app for that.
I knew that was a dog.
Knew that was a dog. Knew his first name.
Yeah, Cyril will not be happy that we're here.
Really?
He doesn't. Doesn't take kindly to people being over his wall.
Doesn't like people being over the wall. Bad luck, Cyril.
Sorry, Cyril.
Sounds like a small dog.
He's a border terrier, I think.
Really?
Not border collie. Border terrier. But
you hear him panting now.
Yeah. He's desperate to come and see us.
Yeah.
Sorry, problem. Cyril. Sorry, you have to wait your turn.
It's like a dog in a cartoon.
Yeah, he is.
Fuck.
But I find with anything like meditation or whatnot,
yeah,
my mind will just go to the bad place straight away. And I know people say, everyone does that, you just bring it back. But what am I? I'm like, what am I bringing it back to? I don't understand. Like,
sure,
the clouds in the sky. I say, okay, well, yeah, but I'm now thinking about the clouds. It's like, don't think about an elephant.
Yeah.
So that's why I feel like if I'm doing something, then my mind is distracted enough that I feel a sense of
I agree.
Calm.
I completely get that. Just trying to do something with your phone as far away from you as possible and you are just focused on the thing you're doing, even if you're just brushing your teeth or whatever.
But there are times when I can't brush my teeth without having my phone on. Oh,
Tom, I've been using my electric toothbrush while holding the speaker of my phone to my ear so I can hear whatever YouTube video I'm watching. Ridiculous.
So stupid. Like, I used to be able to just go for a shower, but now, I couldn't possibly not have... Disco shower.
Disco shower, yeah.
By the way, when the water is falling, I can't hear my phone.
No.
Because it's old and it's got the thing where, you know, when it sort of isn't as loud as it used to be.
Yeah.
So I've just got a phone playing out loud, balanced on the sink,
whilst
I'm going for a shower.
It's white noise.
Just to have, just in case, maybe at one moment I might hear a brief moment of Patti LuPone.
exactly the same. I just realised, hold on, I'm not even watching this video. I put it on the floor while I'm having a dump. Listen to some skateboarders talk about skateboarding.
Is that your go-to?
I like hearing them talk about skateboarding, even though I can't skateboard. I like skaters talking about skateboarding.
There's plenty of people probably watching this, thinking about how they can't garden.
Can't garden, can't do comedy at the highest level like us.
Well, you flatter me. But what's happened to us, I know.
With the mindfulness thing, when they're like, it's not about completely clearing your head. Fine if you're thinking stuff. It's like, well, then what's the point of any of this?
You do sound.
Well, I just unplug the app and just lay here on my bed. Then why are you? What are you even talking me through? If there's no way of doing this wrong, because I feel like I'm doing it wrong, but you're telling me I'm not.
The only thing I managed to do was fall asleep.
That's lucky. That's good.
But also, does this get said? You do sound a bit like the man on the.
Oh no, Andy.
Oh no, is that bad? I don't know.
I hate Andy.
Well, I haven't listened to it for a long time.
Andy
sorry.
Does my head in. I have
Maybe
to change
you're just
it.
Impression.
I have to change it to someone else. I'm glad there are more options these days because Andy. I mean, I get what you mean. We're a bit nasal and
and calming.
We sound objectively white, but like what I don't like about Andy is that he'll laugh every now and again. He'll say like, "So it's not about clearing your head. You wouldn't be able to do that anyway," or whatever. I'm like, "Fucking, what are you laughing at, Andy? Like, this is a pre-record, and you've gone with this take of it where you're laughing at the very notion, of, like what I might presume."
Yeah,
you think what I might presume about meditation is stupid to the point where you're laughing about it. I don't need this.
What a pig!
He's a pig.
Yeah. He's a pig, that
He's a
guy.
Pig, and I would choose the others over him any day. And sometimes you don't have the option of the others because only Andy
does. I say, I've only ever heard it with
him. He's a workaholic. He's
the least mindful person I've ever heard of.
Yeah, he's not giving himself any downtime.
No.
He's constantly in there.
Yeah, the coalface of meditation.
Yeah, the rest of them come and go as they please. They're more mindful than him.
Mm, more part-timers, probably a WFH Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are the others? I don't know any of the others.
I don't know their first names because they're not always the option, but I would choose them.
Over
Andy.
There's another one, not to take on all of the mindfulness apps, but there's another one where you can choose kind of from a whole universe of different mindfulness practitioners.
Why?
That was too much, James.
Too much choice.
Too much choice.
Yeah.
There's too much choice.
Yeah. They're just scrolling.
So just, I spent ages scrolling for the perfect mindfulness practitioner, and none of them seemed to be the one I wanted.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the one I wanted was.
No. I guess I want someone... I have to have a relaxing voice. Maybe I don't find Andy's voice relaxing because it sounds like mine.
Maybe you just think like you're listening to a recording of yourself.
Yeah, and that's not what I want
to
do.
Not feel your voice, but whenever I hear my voice, I feel physically sick.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I get messages from people going like, oh, I cannot stand his voice.
Yeah, yeah.
Like on, you know, social media, which you're wise to have left.
Yeah.
But sometimes people are like, oh, his voice gets on my nerves.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it?
And I think, yeah, you're right. It is a weird voice. I agree with you. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
That's the thing I think with online trolls. Excuse me. Classic joke.
It is funny.
It's funny. It's always funny.
It's funny. Especially that one, because that one, I didn't immediately think it sounded like a fart until you said that. And I was like, yeah, that it did sound a bit.
Or if only we'd been talking about, like, I don't know, brass sections on an orchestra, which I'm open to.
This could go that way.
Because in the garden, I say to people they can talk about garden, we can talk about whatever we like.
Well, Ground Force, of course.
Ground Force, of course.
They had a brass band.
Oh, that was the whole. That was classic key Friday night watching, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was comforting.
Mm.
There was an era of television like that where, this is an idyllic place, Tom.
Well, thank you very much. That.
Ding dong, ding dong.
Somebody said earlier that it's the sort of place they think of if they had to have an MRI scan.
What?
You know, when they say, like, if you're going through any kind of procedure, to go, like, think of a happy place, they think of a garden.
That's nice.
Hmm. Classic Friday night nostalgia. But the time when people would sit down as a family. Of course, I know your parents a little.
Yeah, met them.
Several times.
Yeah.
I feel like they stayed with us, but no, they didn't.
No.
James and I have known each other for a long time, and we were part of a group of people who stayed together in Edinburgh in a flat.
Yeah.
And your mum and dad would sometimes come, but actually, would they stay with us? Or
no,
they'd
stay somewhere else, but they came every Edinburgh.
Yeah, they were
so
very loyal.
We'd see them every Edinburgh, and they'd come in. You know, my dad would try some banter.
He was very good at banter.
No, he went too hard on your shoes once.
I was going to say there was a pair of shoes I'd bought, and I still think about them.
Yeah.
And to be fair, he was right.
Well,
they were quite shiny. They were kind of a shiny chocolate leather, brown leather. And I said, what do you think of these? And he went, oh, no, I wouldn't wear those. They're too shiny. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And I should have just taken it in the bantery way
it was
meant.
Well, I think my mum had said they were nice. So I think you were like, oh, thank you. And you, David?
Yes, I think I did. And I always found Edinburgh to be a very stressful place.
Yes.
Did you?
Yeah, massively.
The festival, not the city. I always feel like I should qualify that.
The city is lovely.
The people are lovely. Audiences are lovely. But the festival, I found very stressful.
And I think people can, like, who hear comedians talk about it must think that we absolutely hate Edinburgh and so why do we go? But, I think the reason it's stressful is that you're up and down. It's not that the whole festival, you're rock bottom, this is horrible. You're one moment to the next. It's the high point of your career.
Absolutely.
And then it's, I'm never going to work again.
Absolutely.
And then it's back up to the high point of your career. And it's just that for a month.
And I always say as well about the comparison, because even if you're not somebody who naturally compares themselves, although I think most people do in some capacity, you step out of your door and there's a bus going past with somebody else's poster on it, somebody else's face zoomed in going past you. There are posters. It's hard to explain as well how many posters there are everywhere of everybody else's face with all of their reviews on it and all of their five stars and their extra shows.
Yeah.
And it's so kind of exhausting to feel like that, I found.
And we got very lucky with our house.
Those were the times I most enjoyed it, I think, when I had that.
Because I think there's a lot of, every comedian and people who work in comedy who go to Edinburgh will relate to this, but if you haven't been, every single year, every comedian who is going to go to Edinburgh says, I'm going to do it differently this year. I'm not going to drink, and I'm not going to read reviews, and I'm not going to even talk about comedy outside of this. I'm going to and even people do it in their groups of like, we're all living together, and we've all agreed we're not going to talk about that sort of stuff and blah blah blah, and it never really works out. And I think we never had to say to each other, here are the rules, let's all do this. We all just moved in together, and it very quite organically became that if we did talk about stuff, it was just in a supportive way. It wasn't anyone coming in. No one would ever come in and go, oh, they are still rolling in the aisles, guys. It's, I absolutely obliterated it. And have you seen my review in The Guardian today? No one was doing that.
It's so odd, I think, as well, that people would be like that. But it's hard to explain. Some people are like that and like, oh my God, I smashed it. I was incredible. Some people do talk like that. And I think, hopefully, most normal people don't talk like that. Yeah. So I think we did the right thing by being just normal, just try to be as normal as possible. But some comedians are like that. God bless them, of course.
God bless you.
God bless you if you're there. But yeah, it was a much more relaxed time. I guess I felt like when I joined that group, with the Bloomsbury set, basically, there was a spare room going, and I said, yeah, I'll have it.
Yeah.
But I did feel like that was the time when I started to enjoy the festival and enjoy being a comedian, actually, because I suddenly felt like I was able to be quite relaxed and quite happy.
I enjoyed it much more once we all got in that house together.
Oh, really?
Once we were all there. Yeah, yeah. I'd enjoyed the house shares I'd had before in Edinburgh, but this one just felt like we were all on the same page of how we wanted to approach the festival.
Sure.
We had a chocolate bowl.
That
was a big part.
That was a big sell.
You know, it was a fruit bowl that was just left there by whoever owned the place. And we were just all kind of... It just became a thing without us having to say.
Little treats.
On the way back from your show, you'd buy yourself like a massive thing of chocolate to just comfort yourself. But yeah, you wanted a couple of squares.
Oh, yeah.
So you chuck it in the chocolate bowl. Everyone just started doing that. So it was a bowl just full of chocolate.
That was a nice thing, wasn't it? A nice bit of community.
Always there.
I remember I was there, vocal zones in the middle of the coffee table.
Oh, the vocal zones as
well. Very handy because we were talking. Oh, was that because of David?
David Trent, who was in that house, had to really shout in his shows. And so, like, by week one, he would be losing his voice and need the vocal zones. Mm. And he would grab them. Mm. But then they would, at some point in the festival, you probably did need one. So it was quite nice to have those handy as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, fun times.
I love the chocolate bowl.
You could do that now in your life, you know.
Yeah, that'd be dangerous now. It's fine for 1 month of the year.
To have chocolate whenever you like. Now?
Yeah, now.
Forget it.
No way. Yeah, because I wouldn't be able to stop, Tom.
By the way, if you're enjoying our little garden chat, don't forget you can watch all episodes of Pottering on my YouTube channel, at Tom Allen. Or, if you prefer, just carry on listening on your podcast app whilst you potter about yourself. We'd love to keep you company.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Going back to the topic of gardening, not that we have to, but have you ever sort of got into gardening? I know you did your swimming.
No.
I feel you don't have any outdoor space now.
So we do have so we've got a patio.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
So we've just kind of like, we've cat-proofed it. We've got four cats.
Sounds like a Two Ronnie sketch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Four cats. Four cats.
Four cats, yeah. Four cats.
And we also have a balcony, which is off of our bedroom, which is the same size as the patio.
Oh, I've always wanted to have that.
Which we have...
Like a terrace you could fling yourself out
but
on.
But you might not like what we've done with it.
What have you done with it?
We've turned it into what is known as, and we haven't created this term, this is an industry term, a catio.
Oh, dear.
Where a man comes along and he turns it into a space just for the cat. So it is in a kind of like a mesh...
A cage?
A mesh cage. Which you can't have a solid roof because then it counts as an extension, so it has to just be all mesh.
I understand.
Because otherwise the council will get us.
Yeah.
So you do that. Catios are fine. The term catio is so like official now that it is in the official council thing is catios are okay.
Catios are allowed. Okay.
Catios are allowed. That's not an extension. So he put that in, fake grass on the bottom. Then there's like rope bridges and ladders and ledges they can like look over the buildings from. And they're just running around in there. The old planter, we left that in there so that they love jumping in there.
Is this on the terrace level or on the base level?
Terrace level. It's on. Yeah, it's off of our bedroom. So it's like we're doing a sleepover in a zoo.
Oh.
Because it's just like we've got screen doors. So we can just see into this, just another room. And sometimes when it's sunny like this, I'll go and lay in the catio and they absolutely can't believe I'm in there.
Oh, they like it?
They love it.
Oh, that's nice. They like it.
They're like, can't believe he's come in the catio.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Because my relationship with cats is always quite, what's the word? I don't think they like me. So I'm always a bit timid around cats.
Why don't you think they like you?
Because I'm very needy, like a dog. Yeah. And I think the cats, friends of mine who've got cats, will sometimes come and say hello, and then I'll be glad to see them, but I never know quite when they're going to dig their claws in, and that frightens me.
You're frightened.
I'm frightened of them, and I think they see that.
That's an issue.
Do they perceive that?
Well, yeah, if you're frightened and on edge around them, they're going to
respond.
Also be like that around you, I guess.
Okay.
Ours are very exciting. You know, I'm very needy, but when they're your cats, you get to just bring them up in that environment so that they're just like, okay, great, this guy picks us up all the time and gives us cuddles, and I guess we just have to deal with that. Whereas if it's someone else's cat, some people just get a cat so they can just not bother with an animal. So they can just have an animal around that is very low maintenance, fair enough, but it means that they're never really interacting with it that much. So the cat, when you go around and visit them and you see the cat, you go, well, this cat hates me. And actually, it's just not bothered with anyone.
That's what I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I should be more have that in my mind. I should have that in my mind.
My cats wouldn't scratch you,
really.
But yeah, but they would maybe hide from you when you first get there because they don't know who you are. Terry wouldn't. Terry would come and say hello to you straight away.
I was going
to
say, how can they not know who I am? I'm on lots of things.
He's on everything.
People sometimes say, you're on everything.
Yeah. But Terry would come and say hello to you straight away. Terry comes and says hello to each.
Who's
person.
Terry named after? Is it Terry Thomas or Terry Waite?
Just like, I just looked at him and was like, that's...
Terry Wogan?
Terry Nutkins.
Terry Nutkins.
Got his finger bit off by an otter.
Is that true?
Yeah, Terry Nutkins got his finger bit off by an otter.
I never liked those animal programmes, really. Yeah.
Not on TV, it didn't happen to him on camera.
Imagine with all those children there.
Yeah.
Everyone's screaming. You don't think of otters being that violent, either.
Yeah, it was one that he knew pretty well, but he did something different on that day.
Well, therein lies the lesson.
He knows it was his fault.
Well, that's the lesson, James.
Yeah.
Because... Be careful with your cats.
Be careful with the cats.
Don't change your behaviour, certainly. They might bite your finger.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes I'll be playing with them and they'll get a few bites in, but it's all right. Quite like it.
Okay, fine.
It's
like you're one of them.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that, sort of born free?
I do feel like I'm born free and like I'm one of them. Like I'm the lion in Born Free. Elsa.
Is that Elsa?
I think Elsa's the lion in Born Free.
I watched it once. I found it quite a depressing film, actually.
Yeah.
I think because it was on sort of one of those like afternoons that was just a bit depressing.
And when you watch it as a kid, it can be a bit, if you, because like obviously as a kid, what you want is for the lion to stay with the people and become friends with the people.
Yeah. To
and
talk.
Then when the lesson of it is she was born free and she should live free.
Yeah.
So we should release the lion into the wild and it's bad of us to keep it.
Yeah.
As a kid, you're like, oh, I don't like learning this lesson.
Yes, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a horrible lesson, actually, when you put it like that.
The lesson is I've got to say goodbye to the lion forever.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel good. I wanted the lion to just hang out with me all the time.
Yeah, and also, I guess that you go like, oh, I guess that means that's what my parents are going to do to me. It's a horrifying thing.
That is what my parents are going to do to me.
They're going to set me free. Although mine didn't really. I lived with them until I was 38. But the born not free. Born...
Born in your parents' house and died in your parents' house.
Lived in my parents' house.
Yeah,
that's the
name
of my film. so you know, I suppose I really didn't like that film at all.
No.
But compared to Lion King, it's shit, isn't it?
Yeah, Lion King's much better.
Much better. We were talking earlier about My Neighbour Totoro.
Yeah.
Some people say Totoro.
Totoro.
And I say Totoro, but I think that's it's probably a very English pronunciation of it.
I don't know.
But I feel like... You see, there's a... there's a contingent of, I'm going to generalize here, but I would say gays in their 30s who wear those woolen hats that don't come very far down.
Oh, yeah.
Who have tote bags and rolled up trouser legs.
Yeah.
Who love Studio Ghibli. And yeah. They love My Neighbor Totoro.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, my boyfriend and I, this is our first date. We went to see My Neighbor Totoro.
Yeah.
Possibly the tote bag will have,
yeah.
It will be merch from the show.
Yes.
I went to see it.
Incredible.
I'm a gay. There's the gay alarm. And he's talked about being gay.
The dog set it off.
The dog set it off. And I thought that was wonderful. But,
yeah.
I mean, Lion King is maybe a different part of the musical theatre genre, but still...
I mean, it's still going strong.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
I told you, I cried at Totoro.
Yeah.
As soon as it started. And we were on the front row. It must have been so unnerving for the actors.
Oh, they're used to it.
They must
I reckon. Last time I saw it, I saw it twice. Second time I saw it, I was looking more... If people haven't seen it, there's a lot of puppetry in it, and the puppeteers are constantly on the stage, but you kind of don't
sweeping,
notice
very,
them.
Very mournfully sweeping.
Yeah. Well, you do notice them, but it doesn't distract from the stage. It's quite elegant and amazing how much it just blends in with everything.
Magical.
But there was one point where the cat bus comes out, which is a massive bus-cat hybrid. Amazing character.
Yeah.
Who and there's so many people have to like do the puppetry for that.
Oh yeah.
And there was a guy who was just operating one of the legs. That was what he was doing. So when the cat buses and every now and again the cat would like lick its paw, and he had that paw and had to go like that every now and again. And I looked at him, and he looked. I mean, at the same time I laughed during the show because he just looked like he absolutely hated his life and hated his job. I was just there looking at the floor, and just every now and again would do that. But every time he did that, he would do it so perfectly. Like, it was incredible how much it looked like a cat genuinely licking its paw. It wasn't just like someone going, fuck off, whatever. It was like, he was doing it so amazingly, but his face was like, I hate this. I hate that I've got the paw again. And like, but he was just doing it so well.
Maybe that's what he started off doing, and then he moved up the ranks. But then forepaw was off that day.
Back on paw duty. I can't believe it.
Back on Paw Patrol. Then had to do that again. Like, oh, I thought I'd moved on from this.
Yeah, I meant to do the tail.
Why don't they see me for who I am?
Yeah.
I'm the tail. I'm the tail.
Yeah, everyone else can see it.
They just don't respect me here.
Yeah.
I'm going to move to another Japanese anime-inspired musical in the West End. Actually, there is Spirited Away.
There's Spirited Away.
Yeah.
But like Spirited Away... when I saw that,
I haven't seen the stage show of that.
So I saw that, and that look, that's getting great reviews. So me saying that I didn't love it won't damage it at all.
That's an opinion.
But I think because I'd seen Totoro, loved that beyond belief. Went to see this one, and was like, it's cool, definitely cool. But I think one of the main things was the puppetry in it. The people do not just blend in to the show and become one with it. You are so aware they're there all the time. And there was a bit, there's a character that's a frog. And me and Phil Wang were talking about it afterwards. And I said, the frog? And you mean... I said, that frog character. And Phil went, oh, you mean the man walking around with his hand up a frog's ass? Because that's what that was for the whole thing. It wasn't...
Because sometimes those properties are all dressed to blend in.
Yeah.
But sometimes I do notice... Like, Warhorse was a bit like that as well.
Yeah.
And there's a few things. Sometimes it does blend in, but sometimes I'm like, well, there's clearly a man there.
Yeah, it's amazing how Totoro does it, where they're dressed in black, but you just don't... It's amazing that it just becomes part of it all. And like, I think they're dressed in, like, a kind of beige colour for the Spirited Away one. And the whole thing, you are just like... There are so many of you on stage right now. There's a bit where there's a character that has like multiple arms and everyone is there doing it. And you're like, you are really crowding that guy.
Yeah.
You all need to get away from that guy because he's trying to act.
A lot going on.
And you're all
stage.
Just around him like that.
Well, I was going to say, Spirited Away as well, talking of like stories that upset you as a child, I watched it as an adult. I thought this is exactly the sort of like fever dream you have as a child. If you've not seen it, which I imagine most of our viewers and listeners will have done, but it's about a girl who is moving house and she somehow ends up in the working as...
Well, her parents become pigs, of course.
Of course. They stumble
they're
upon,
greedy and they eat too much.
Because they eat too much.
They won't listen to her.
And they won't listen to her, and they've stumbled upon a fairground on the way to their new house.
Yeah.
And somehow she takes a wrong turning, ends up being engulfed in the world of the gods' bathhouse.
She works in a bathhouse.
In a bathhouse in which she's not allowed to know her own name.
Yeah.
And which she's a small child. Everyone hates her.
Yeah.
And despises her except for this one boy.
Yeah.
And who takes her... No spoilers here, because frankly, if you can remember any of what we're saying when you come to watch it, you're a better person than I am. It turns out to be a dragon that's also a train, I think, at one point.
He's not also a train, but he's a dragon.
But doesn't they go on a train that goes underwater?
A train, but I don't think that's him.
And he is a dragon at one point, though.
Yeah, yeah. He turns into a dragon.
And then, but there's also this whole system that you have to get used to of like Japanese bathhouses, which is not something that I was particularly au fait with. It's quite, I imagine, I haven't seen the stage show. I love the film.
Yes.
But I imagine the stage show is quite confusing. Not confusing, I'm sure it's beautifully explained. But I'm sure it's quite overwhelming.
I think personally, when I watched the stage show, I was like, the film is amazing at just taking so much information and just making it seem like this incredibly fluid, wild ride that you just get swept up in.
Yes.
Because with this, I am trying to keep on top of
it. Oh, really?
There's a lot going on. And you're like, oh yeah, the film is bananas. Actually, I think the fact that it's an animation.
Yeah, it gives it a
means
license.
That's fine. But yeah. The fact that these are people in front of me, I am like, what is going on?
There's a witch who lives on the top floor with an eagle, is it, that flies? Or some sort of flying buzzard.
Oh, she can turn
buzzard.
Into a crow.
And she turns into a crow. She's obsessed with something in a box. Yeah. I mean, it all just seems like, you know, as a kid, when you're first sort of conscious of being ill, but also trying to sleep and having these weird dreams.
Yeah.
Waking up like, I don't know where I am. Yeah.
It's like, is this what being an adult is going to be like?
Yes.
Just that everything is going on at once, that I can't keep.
I could be made to work in a bathhouse and no one's going to be allowed to say my name. And this old woman in the attic hates me.
Yeah. I mean, that is adulthood.
That is adulthood, isn't it? That is, I mean, it's no wonder.
Yeah, you're doing a horrible job. You lose all sense of self. Someone hates you for no reason.
Yeah. Wow. When you put it like that, I guess that's true.
There you go. And you lose your parents. That's what happens to them. That's what happens to them.
No, but that doesn't happen in that one she finds them.
She gets them back at the end, which must be weird. I would like to see that Spirited Away too, where she's living with her parents and every now and again she goes, you know, you guys were pigs for a while.
And she's like, but do you remember also that? Watch the dubbed version of it or do you watch the subtitled version?
The dubbed version.
Yeah, I always see the dubbed version. And they've always got these kind of American voices.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
And this is before Studio Ghibli was like big.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it was a film that made it like global.
Yeah.
So like now they've got famous actors.
Oh, do they?
To all
dub
the time
it?
And it's like quite a big deal.
I don't need that. There's something about that kind of a bit. It reminds me a bit of Dogtanyan. And the Three Musketeers.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, sure, it's part of the same world. They're both anime, technically. But that was French. And I always wondered why their mouths never moved at the same time.
Yeah.
They were like, D'Artagnan, the cardinal will now be pleased about this.
Yeah. I had to dub an Italian cartoon.
Oh, did you?
I was an imaginary armadillo in an Italian cartoon.
I see that.
Called Sign on the Dotted Line, which is on Netflix. I did the voice for the armadillo in it. We were having our house decorated at the time, and the guy doing all the painting, we got to know him, and like I was out for the day and he said to my partner, like, where's James, why is he not here? And because he didn't like speaking to her.
Clearly he didn't. Yeah,
it wasn't his go-to. I've got to speak to you about the money. No way you can understand this. But like he would talk to her if he had to, and she was like, he's voicing a cartoon character today. And he was like, wow, what character? She was like, oh, it's an armadillo. It's like an imaginary armadillo in this Italian cartoon. And he was like, oh, my God. Are you telling me he's doing Sign on the Dotted Line? This is my favourite cartoon in the world.
Oh, my.
I love it so much. It's so good. Are they doing an English dub version now? This is amazing. And she was like, yeah. It's like, he's going to be the armadillo. That's like the best character. And she was like, yeah. And so he was so excited. And then next time he saw me, he was like, James, this is huge. You must be excited about this. You're going to be the armadillo. And I was like, yeah, I didn't actually know. I knew it had done well, in Italy, but I didn't know like it was like people were excited
big
about
deal.
It. This is cool. I was like, yeah. And I recorded it, and like I think it's going to be good. Didn't see him for a while. Came back to like paint a different room in our house. He went, James, I'm afraid to say I did prefer the original version. I watched your dubbed version. I don't like what you did with the armadillo character.
Did you say, well, we didn't like what you did? Cause that's why you've had to come back and touch it up.
Yeah, you're back. That's why you're back here. So if we
go and paint the catio, please.
we could all criticise each other's work.
Yeah.
Tiger that you painted on the catio looks shit.
You painted a tiger on the catio. That's Horrifying thing to do, though, the poor cats.
Yeah, that's
a big, big terrifying version.
Don't go in the car, there's a fucking dog.
Gosh. But would it be like, for example, meeting the person who's dubbing Rizzo the Rat in The Muppet Christmas Carol? And it turning out not to be.
Or
maybe they did it with a high-pitched voice.
He was so used to the original Armadillo, so he was like saying to me, I just like how the original Armadillo's had a lot more edge to it. He's kind of the lead character's like innermost thoughts and like all the things that he can't say in this. I guess they got the wrong guy to do it, really, because I probably softened him a bit because I didn't want to be this edgelord. And I felt I think he was like, yeah, you really tamed that armadillo to the point where it was shit.
There was nothing left.
Boring. Oh. Yeah, and I liked it before when that armadillo was just like cutting loose and saying whatever it wanted. And you've kind of like made it a bit of a boring character, actually.
Would you do it differently if you could go back?
No, I would do exactly the same. I'm glad that all the people watching it in English are getting a tamer version.
Soft version of that armadillo.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really know what an armadillo looks like. Is it that sort of armoured looking one?
Yeah, it's got the like the kind of, not a shell, but you know.
Yeah.
His back has that, yeah.
Yeah.
For the rest of the day, I was quite, I didn't fall out with him officially when he said that, but I definitely, he was definitely, he got under my skin. Because at the end of the day, he said like, my partner and I have bought tickets to see your new show at this venue. And I was like, oh, okay. He went, yeah, I bought tickets today. There's loads of tickets left. and I knew that wasn't true. So, but instead of letting it go, I went, well, no, you didn't, because it sold out. And he went, it's so sad. And he went, well, it's not sold out. And I was like, it is. It's sold out. Trust me, it's sold out. And he was like, I don't think it is. We got tickets easy. And I was like, you didn't get tickets easy. Like, wherever you've got tickets, that's not from a reputable source. You got them from somewhere bad. So they're probably not even tickets. And if you asked me, I could have just got you on the guest list anyway. I would have done that.
Oh, that's nice to use that.
Yeah, yeah. So now you just spent tickets or something. You're probably not even going to get in.
And what did he say to that?
He said, I've got tickets. Trust me, there's loads of tickets left. I saw the seat and plan. There's loads of tickets to your show left. I don't know what your agents have told you. He said, maybe your agents, you know, sometimes they say stuff so it makes you feel better. I'm like, I don't...
Oh, my God.
Maybe they told you that armadillo was good when really you made it sound like an absolute pussy.
So
I haven't seen him again.
I'm not surprised. I have to tell you. Did you pay him?
Oh, yeah, we paid him. Hmm. We paid him. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely paid the guy.
Absolutely paid him.
But,
And did he come to the show?
Did come to the show, I think. I actually am trying to think if I saw him since the show. So he brought his partner along and then came to see the show. And I was like, I don't think you're going to like it.
You didn't like the armadillo. I can't imagine you're going to enjoy this one.
The armadillo is not up your street. My live show is absolutely going to be disappointing.
It sounds like he was really angry at you for the way you portrayed that armadillo.
He was. He was a very straight-talking guy. He would talk very... And he was quite bossy.
Oh.
And there was a time where, like... We were going away and he would be in our house painting while we were away.
You trusted him?
Yeah, we trusted him. But we also had a cat sitter while we were away. And this guy is like in his 50s, goes to the gym all the time, very bossy and very assertive. The cat sitter was in her late teens, quite meek. And we were like very worried that while we were gone, he was going to boss this young lady around, and we didn't want that to happen.
Of course.
So I particularly was stressing out about this. I kept saying like, I don't like the thought of, because he would always say to us, like, okay, I've painted these banisters. You need to keep the cats locked in the living room until 7 this evening before, and don't let them out before then. And we would be like, they don't like being locked in the room. And he went, well, if I come tomorrow and they've messed the paint up, then I'm going to have to do this even longer. It's going to cost you even more money. He's very assertive.
And so is that what happened?
Well,
because it sounds like he's probably in your house for a long time. If that was the case, you were constantly letting the cats ruin his work.
we see him all the time.
He was like, please don't let the cats ruin my painting. And you were like, we have to. Cats ruin it. He comes back the next day, paints it. I can see why he's annoyed with you.
He would get annoyed if they clearly jumped on the banister or whatever, which we were trying to stop doing. Yeah. I mean, now they've absolutely fucked it. But I was very worried about him telling this girl off and saying to her, like, because I was like, he's going to tell her that you're never allowed out of that room. You keep her in there, because I think he's going to take liberties while we're gone.
Yeah, tell lies.
So I said to my partner, I'm going to talk to him and make sure that he doesn't tell her off. But I kind of tried to do like a bit of a lie. So I said to him, just so you know, while we're gone, the cat sitter is going to be here. She knows everything
that she needs to do with the cats. You don't have to tell her anything. She knows everything that she has to do. And like, you're not in charge of her, and you don't boss her around. And to try and make him feel better, yeah. I said, don't worry, I've told her. It goes both ways. She's not allowed to tell you what to do either. And he went, she wants to tell me what to do. And I was like, no, I just told her, like, the decorating's your domain and she's not going to be on that. It's like, so you had to tell her, because if she got a problem with my paintwork, then she better keep her opinions to herself. I was like, she's not going to say anything. He hates her before she's even got in the house. He's just like, oh, I see what I'm dealing with here. You got an absolute battle axe coming in who's going to try and tell me what to do in my painting. Well, we'll see.
Wants to control me.
Yeah,
no
yeah.
one tells me how to paint a banister.
In fact, I'm going to fucking tell her what she does to those cats, because clearly
she's
I've got a problem on my hands. And thanks for giving me the heads up, James. Yeah, I always appreciate it.
I'm glad I know.
Straight talking to me just like the armadillo would in the original version.
So how did it play out when you came back?
We were...
Or have you still not been back?
The whole holiday... Yeah, they both own our house now. They're married. I was checking in with the cat sitter probably too much, being like, how's today been?
A stressful holiday.
Like, yeah. So I probably
did
enjoy...
Holiday,
where, I don't know where this one was now. It would have been a couple of years ago. Mm. It was, I don't know, it's probably somewhere in Europe, I think. And it was like, yeah, and Berlin, I think. And I was just like, okay, like...
Not a place you want to be stressed.
Yeah. Walking around, everyone thinking that guy's really absorbing the history of this place.
He's really into German history, yeah.
I was texting a lot.
Yeah, brutalist architecture as well. It'd be very stressful.
Yeah, looking at all the things, just muttering to myself something about, you know, the decorating and the painting.
Oh, yeah. Why is he talking about the decorators?
Looking at the wall.
And we're at the, what was that? Checkpoint Charlie? Which isn't even in the real place. They moved it.
Yeah. Well, that annoys me.
Yeah, some decorator came in with that.
Yeah.
The wall, of course, just reminds you of painted decorators all the time.
Yeah, all the time. The whole wall.
This wall. Imagine if he was painting this. Wall. I'd hate to see a cat near this wall.
No cats coming over the wall. But like, yeah, it was very stressful the whole holiday, and I was checking in a lot. But it was okay.
Mm.
It was okay by the end, and we got and then you know paid him for his work. And like I say, the cats have just demolished.
Absolutely annihilated it.
Yeah. All the banisters and stuff. Everything else he did, the walls and stuff are fine, but the banisters, they just jump up on...
They love things like they're doing this.
They jump up on it and they, like, absolutely mess it up. Probably because he was the way he was and they don't like him.
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe they see people for how they are, which probably explains why they don't like me.
They see you for who you are. Yeah.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Thing is, James, I don't know what I'm doing on this podcast / visualized podcast.
Yeah.
But I embrace that.
Yeah.
I think you're supposed to do... Well, firstly, you're supposed to talk about, like, health shakes quite a lot, I think. That's one of the things you're supposed to do on a podcast.
Really?
Yeah, or how to be a better... Like, how to be better. Yeah. I don't do that. And
they don't be better, really, do they? A lot of the time, it's people who talk about how to be better and then they...
Well, I always say, what CEO has got time to write a diary? They're busy people.
Yeah. Sometimes I get, I watch the clips from Diary of the CEO, the video mm-hmm. ones. And like, there's a few podcasts that I don't really ever engage with, but then every now and again, a video will come up and it's them interviewing someone in quite a clickbaity title and I'll get drawn in.
And we all do.
I'll be like, I have to know. Mm. And what I've noticed with him is that he'll have people on who will often talk about, he'll offer me, you know, because Diver CEO, they're quite successful people.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, the clue's in the title.
You don't get on it if you're not successful.
You've either got to have a diary or you've got to be a chief executive officer, surely.
Yeah, you've got to have a diary.
Yeah.
Adrian Mole on there.
Adrian Mole. See, that's what I mean. Adrian Mole, yeah. I can see with a diary.
Yeah, yeah.
CEOs.
No way.
No way are they right. Saw Jenny today. I don't know why Jenny's important.
Yeah, I saw Jenny today.
It was nice to catch up with
her. So you think the diary is written after, is that at the end of the day? It's not their diary, their work diary of everything they've got coming up.
Oh, no, that would just be a calendar. Be reading through a series of appointments.
Yeah. But no, but he has them on and he, because they're successful, sometimes I would tell their stories of like when they were coming up and it was a struggle, fair enough. But sometimes I'll say about, you know, stuff that's hard now, and a lot of the time it will be when they feel like people tried to cancel them or something.
Oh yes, a lot of people tried to get
it's a lot of that, because I don't know about you on this podcast, but on our Ed and I on our Off Menu podcast, whenever anyone talks about that sort of stuff and brings up cancel culture, they start moaning about that, we just look over at the producer and we just know this is getting edited out and we'll let them carry on talking about it, and then we'll leave a pause afterwards and ask them what their favourite chocolate bar is. But like,
I wonder why that's always missing. Actually, I'm always like, my sense is, maybe I'm naive, but my sense is the people who moan about being cancelled, or who indeed are cancelled, are the most successful people. So, ergo, have not been cancelled.
They've not been at all, and it's very funny when they like go on Diary of a CEO and talk about it, and you're like, well, it clearly didn't happen, because here you are
on this,
and the Huel podcast, whatever his name is, the Huel man, is not at any point picking you up on it or and challenging you
or cancelling you by therefore, I don't know, putting a piece of paper in front of your face or not asking you any questions,
shutting you up. He just says to them that he doesn't really do his job in that regard. I mean, fair enough, if it's going to be edited out, then you just let them say whatever and then move on to, and what's your diary looking like this week? But like, I don't know what they're talking about. But like, but he just goes, that's really hard. And then they put that out as the main clip. There was one. Oh, I don't know, actually, we were meant to be getting onto the activity, aren't we? So,
go on. No, I've got time.
I'm probably doing the reverse of my own thing that I was saying. you guys are just sitting there going, this is edited out. We're going to edit this out. Him complaining about people who complain about getting cancelled.
James, there's nothing in this podcast. I mean, no, not just this one, but anything in this podcast. I haven't got anything in it, so I'm not going to edit out anything.
It'll all be in.
We leave in the planes going overboard.
Dog
barking.
The noisiest podcast.
It's very atmospheric, I like to think.
Absolutely.
Other people will be like, what is this?
Such a stressful listen to people.
Where are they? What are you doing on the M25 or something? Be quieter. Sorry.
But it's just funny. What makes me laugh about it is what they will complain about when you're like, I mean, so like they've gone on Twitter and they're basically, oh no, it's too dark really. But like something very bad had happened to a woman, and this celebrity had gone on Twitter and said, can we just go easy on guys, please? Like, I've got a son and he's a good guy. So, like, can we all just go easy on guys? Because my son's cool. My son's asking me questions now as if guys are bad. And I don't want to have to sit down with my son and explain to him. And so, like, they've done that tweet. And then they got a load of shit for it, of people going, are you high? And, like, what are you on about? And then they were like, yeah, they tried to cancel me and I spent the weekend in bed and then I was basically all right after that. And the Huelster was there listening to it. And at no point did he kind of say, like, do you not think it was bad to have done? Do you not think you should have, like, taken a moment and thought about, is this the time to do the tweet? Can we lay off members? And also, when you did that tweet, what were you expecting? That everyone would just reply going, absolutely, you're a celebrity.
You're right.
You've asked us to lay off men. So we will leave them alone because you have asked us to. And none of us will give you any shit for this because you have earned it.
But I'm just seeing it all as well in that environment of, especially Twitter, which, I mean, that kind of comment and then the response to it just seems to be what kind of perpetuates the whole thing, really.
Yeah, even if you think that some people's responses are disproportionate and harsh and all this, you're on Twitter.
I mean,
putting that on. What are you expecting them all to say?
Exactly.
Even if they disagree with you, they're not all 100% do it in a balanced way, because you've chosen to say this to everybody in the world at once. I think whenever you decide to say something to everybody in the world at once,
you should really consider it.
Yeah. And actually, do you know what? If you're going to talk about all this sort of stuff, you should ask comedians about it, because a lot of us could tell you, you know, oh, I'm a stand-up. I mainly do whimsical material. And I can tell you that when you choose to make a joke about apricots that's essentially a pun to the world, some people will tell you, go fuck yourself then. So if you are going to say anything to the entire world, then you really should consider
what the outcome is going to be.
Yeah, probably some people won't like it.
Mm.
Especially if it's, can we all leave Med alone, please? My son's a nice guy.
Well, what a time.
But yeah, the Huelster needs to challenge him is what I'm saying. If you're going to keep it in the edit, offer a counter point of view.
What do you think about this? Yesterday, I was in a gents' toilet, and a man, I went for a wee, a man came up to me and said, my wife's a big fan, can you do a video for her?
Yeah.
It's her birthday.
Yeah, great.
I mean, I wasn't actually going to the toilet, I was still in a toilet.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, apart from me, there's other people in this room.
Well, it's not appropriate.
So I said, should we go outside and do it? Then as I went outside of the toilet, of course, there were other people waiting for the people who had gone into the toilet.
Yeah.
So then I stood amongst them and turned around and the man immediately had his phone out filming me. And I said, don't you want to do it as a selfie? And he went, no. And so then I was found myself going, hello, Storm Allen here. Just wanted to say happy birthday. And the whole experience was very odd. I don't know why I brought that up.
I mean, in return, what do you think about this? I went to a public toilet yesterday.
Congrats.
And I don't like using the trough and all of that.
I don't like that. I get quite nervous.
Always in the cubicle to have a wee. So there was two cubicles.
Uh-huh.
Quite a small toilet. I pushed one door because it was shut. Like the door was open. Pushed the door. There's a bloke in there weeing. And for that, you're like, look, brother, I'm the same as you. I'm going to go in there for a wee, but lock the door.
Lock the door? Why wouldn't you lock the door?
Lock the door. This is not a good surprise for me, and I'm sure you don't like being interrupted. I go to the other one. The door is open. There is someone already having a wee in there, so they've also left the door open. I'm standing there, and I realise he's standing at the toilet in the stance of someone having a wee.
Oh, no.
But he's not weeing, and his hands are up here, and he's on his phone. And I realise he's on his phone. He's standing at the toilet on his phone.
Oh.
So I waited for a while, and it had been a long time. And eventually, I went, did a little cough. He looks over his shoulder, sees me, goes, oh, puts his phone away, and then puts his dick away and zips up. So he had a wee and then got sidetracked with his phone.
That's the way they get you. This is the point.
And then was yet to do any of the admin. He had to shake and everything before he put it away. And I was like,
really,
you were just like drip drying your dick or something at the end of the piss, and just on your phone, and with the door open in the cubicle, and I had to draw his attention to, like, dude,
excuse me,
you've got to wrap
space.
This up. Other people have to use that, but he was just there with his boy out on his phone.
But like you say, hadn't moved. And what was so pressing? But that's the way the phones get you, isn't it?
Probably looking at a playlist.
Probably just looking
the piss
through
playlist.
An old pissy playlist.
It's pissy playlist. It's piss tunes.
Piss tunes, yeah.
These are my piss tunes. Piss tunes. I can't piss without them.
Piss tunes is what Apple were going to call it, actually. Yeah. iTunes.
Simon now, relax and listen for everyone.
Yeah. There you go. You see, it all happens here. It's tranquil until the busies turn up.
The piss police.
The piss police. Gosh. This is a rose bush. My friend Eleanor. Shout out to Eleanor, bought me for my 40th, and however much it's trimmed back, it always seems to grow forward. And so I just wanted to show that it's quite easy to trim things. I mean, this one is looking rather lovely because it's got a bloom on it.
It's nice.
But with roses, I find that they're quite robust. You can trim them back usually to a little, what are they called? Like above a leafy bit, like that.
Wow.
And it seems to be fine.
It's quite a lot.
It's quite a lot, isn't it? You just throw it on the floor.
How do you know which bits to go for?
Whatever one you like. Not the one with the flower on it, James.
Okay. Up to you.
that one.
Huh?
That one.
This one?
Yeah.
Right there?
Yeah. That's it. Don't prick yourself.
It is quite... Ow!
Ow!
That one got me.
Oh, sorry. Probably should have given you some gloves, actually. That's a good one. Anyway, that's the gist of it.
So you don't want to do any more? No,
I just wanted to show you that it's quite easy.
It's quite a nice birthday present.
Yeah, it wasn't as big as this.
An entire rose bush.
It was like that sort of high.
It's got out of control. How long ago were you 40?
2 years. But it's been trimmed since.
Wow.
But it just keeps coming back.
It's tenacious.
Yeah, that's the thing with a lot of things. Roses, the wisteria over there. You think they're all delicate. They actually grow like wildfire.
Wisteria just makes me think of like a Harper Lee book or something.
The other thing I wanted to trim, which I think you might like, and maybe you could take back, although I don't know if they're good for cats, these are dahlias, which I find very pleasing. You can trim these. Look, That pink one there's a nice one. That's this
lovely. One's nice. Well, so you are going to cut the flower off this time.
So this time, because the magic thing about dahlias is that the more you cut them, the more they seem to grow.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
It's probably, thank you.
The only trouble with dahlias is, over the winter, you need to take the whole... Oh, please be careful. You need to take the whole root in, doors, put it somewhere warm, because they don't like to be in the ground over the winter.
What, the entire root, unearth it and bring it in the house?
I'm telling you.
Where do you put it?
We put it in the middle of the table. Uh-huh. And there you go, there's a little bunch you can take with you.
A little bunch, that's quite nice. I've told Tom I've got to have my passport photo taken later today.
Oh, that would be nice to have that in it.
That would be good. They don't say no flowers, do they?
No, they never say that. They just say, make sure you don't smile, make sure you're in the circle. But they've never said anything about dahlias.
Yeah, just there with the dahlias.
Give it a whirl. Well, James Acaster, thank you so much for being my guest here on Pottering. And the sun was quite out when we started, now it's gone sort of in.
Well, it's the way of the world every day.
Every day. Well, here it's quite often quite cloudy, but we've had a nice day. It's been a nice autumnal afternoon, I think.
You can see a spire from your house.
Yeah.
What an idyllic... I know I'm overusing the word idyllic, but...
Well, I'm very grateful for you saying that.
What a lovely place.
Well, it is...
Must have been expensive.
You're rich. I am. Thanks for pottering with me today. I'll be back next week with another lovely guest. Till then, why not click subscribe on my YouTube channel? It's at Tom Allen. Or follow the show on your podcast app so you're always up to date. And if you can leave a little review, 5 stars if you're feeling generous, it really helps other people find the show. Yes. Anyway, thank you. Bye for now.